the Jewish people were in the custom of reciting three times a day the Shema as the foundation of their whole religion. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And it goes on, you see. Do this when you're walking. Do this when you're... Three times a day, they recited that. The Christians then took the Our Father as the summary of everything that his Son had taught us. And they said it three times a day. But they said it three times a day. They stopped everything. And they offered this prayer to God. Now, our Lord is very happy the more familiar we are with this prayer. But it expresses in terms of our human dimension the relationship that he has with the Father. He opens up his heart here and we see how he prays. And he gives this to us to pray. If we just once in a day, three if we can do it, stop and really pray this. We say this so many times. It starts, you know, Almighty God, creator of the universe, you know, he before whom we will stand in judgment. This is the way you talk to him. Our Father. And already you start to see how the relationship between Father and Son in the Trinity is brought down so that we can partake in it and we can share in the prayer of Jesus. Just when you're driving, just say this prayer slowly. Saint Therese was once with the other sisters and they were, I guess, silent, but they were all sewing or doing something together. And they looked at her and tears were just streaming down her face. They said, "Are you all right?" She said, "Yes. I just keep thinking of what a tenderness it is to be able to say, Our Father." See, a mystic gets it. The rest of us, we keep reciting it. And just... today, sit back for a minute. You don't need a book. You don't. Everybody knows the Our Father. And say it. And ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill your words with real content. He is the one who teaches us to pray, Abba. Let this prayer of Jesus be really in us. See, just think. Our Father, who art in heaven, meaning you're total, transcendent, you're everywhere. See, first thing we say, hallowed be your name. May your name be held in honor, glory, thanksgiving, and praise throughout the whole world. Your name. Your name, as you know, biblically means the expression of who you are. May this expression of who you are, may it fill us with joy, praise, honor, worship throughout the whole world. Can you imagine if at this moment everybody in the world could say that prayer? Where would the war be? What about poverty? What about the moral morass we're in? Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom is the place where God, from which God rules. If you remember, it was the primary theme of Jesus' preaching. the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like, to explain to us. Then in some mysterious way we realize that Jesus is the kingdom of God, because he's the one from whom all God's ruling power emanates. But he's also, you see, the one through whom we enter this kingdom. Your kingdom come, rule. Suppose right now, this morning, God were king of the whole world and the whole world recognized him and he directed the world. What a different world it would be. Be king over us, God. Be our king. Rule over us. Provide justice for us. Bring peace to us. And that will happen as your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Today, let's make sure we're doing the will of God. That will put us in touch with heaven. So that if we die today, we're already halfway there. We're in heaven. And then we ask for what we need. Remember, this is God himself teaching us how to pray. Give us our daily bread, our bodies, keep them in existence. Bread is everything, right? But it's also everything. That's why he comes to us as bread. See? And what else do we need? Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. The Lord taught us, pray this. Pray this. Why is he doing that? Because of the infinity of his wisdom, he knows that if we forgive each other and don't impose on each other immediately, there would be peace in this world. There would be family life in this world. Human beings growing up to know and love and worship God. In this world, the way it is, be ready to forgive. And then, so we need our bread. You see, we need forgiveness, and we need to give forgiveness. And then, we need protection from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Don't let us get into the temptation, hopirasmos, which is to fall away from God. The pressures of this world, either the pleasures or the threats. And then deliver us from evil. Actually, it probably says deliver us from the evil one. He knows there's an evil one plotting against him, trying to obstruct everything he's doing, even as he's preaching and healing. The one who's lying in wait for him to kill him. And he knows it. But he teaches us, deliver us from this evil one. For many, it would mean first being delivered from hatred, fear, drugs, addiction to sex. Deliver us, all of us, from the evil one. And then St. Matthew takes the text from somewhere else, as a comment, the Holy Spirit putting this comment here after that whole prayer, only comments on one point, right? If you forgive others their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. We are in desperate need of forgiveness. Desperate. If we knew how desperate it was, we'd run around forgiving everybody. But if you do not forgive others neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. Now you see why, right after our daily bread, we ask for forgiveness and promise to give it. The saints spend hours saying this once. Oh, just slowly, you know. Our Father, Lord in heaven. You are God. Being in heaven doesn't mean he's in a place. It means he's infinite, powerful, beautiful, almighty. May the whole world come to know that.